and your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you here warmly. Thanks for having us tuned in here today. On this Thursday, we're tuning into God's frequency. I'm right along here with you today. We're going to hear a word from God. We're going to hear his word. It's going to come through his apostle Paul, and it's going to come through the book of Colossians. That's where we're at here, verse by verse. This is part two of the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and it's all about Jesus. Because in Paul's letters, it's all about Jesus, and that's what we do. We go through verse by verse, study the word of God, and as we're in this book, we're seeing that the apostle Paul is following through what he knew to be true. And that is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, if I be lifted up, that I will draw all men, all peoples unto myself. That's what he did. That's what we're doing. We're exalting the Savior. This is part two of this message. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Wednesday nights at 6. Informal Bible study here in the sanctuary. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. We will be in chapter 12. That's next week. Here this week, we are back in Colossians. We're in chapter 2, and that's where we're going to pick it up here this weekend. You are invited. We're having an awesome time here through this book, and the Lord is doing what he says he would, and that is when we exalt the Savior, awesome things happen. And that's what's been going on here at our church. And you are invited. We'd love to see you. Okay, and also for more on this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net. Many of the sermons, you can click on a link there for prior broadcasts. You can hear many of the sermons. There's a link on there to our YouTube page. You can subscribe to that, watch the videos to the sermons. So variety of different ways to hear the word of God preached, sit under the word, do what he says, and I promise that great things will happen for you, happen to you. Because all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are the called according to his purpose.
I mean, some people's vision is to have a bigger church. Some people's vision is to grow and have a bigger church. I mean, in square footage. Grow. And if that's their vision, they stand before God before their vision. I don't mean to sound arrogant or proud, but I just want you to see where my vision is for you, and that is to be the kind of people here that we're seeing here in this chapter. All right, chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Remember last week I said these people have never met Paul. Paul's never met these people. They're strangers. Paul's disciple Epaphras started this church. Paul's never been there. Verse 2. So that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Interesting Greek word here for treasure. It's something that all of you used to own when you were in grade school. The Greek word is thesaurus. I had one of those in school. It's like that old figure of speech, a treasure trove. And it's a treasure trove. Well, Paul is saying here that the greatest treasure trove of all is hidden in God, both the Father and the Son. And it's a treasure trove of wisdom and knowledge. And it's hidden with God. It's hidden in God. And it's all yours for the receiving. It's all yours for the receiving. James tells us all we need to do is ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5, out of the NIV, it said, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God for it, who gives generously. Why cannot I say the word generously? Who gives to all. He gives a whole lot. He gives, here we go again. Who gives to all generously. Was that right? And it says, he gives to all generously and without finding fault. Boy, thank God for that, huh? Without finding fault. Well, you know, dot, dot, dot. We do that all the time, right? Well, you can't have this because, or you can't have this unless you do that. We do that kind of stuff all the time. And God is a generous giver of wisdom, and he doesn't find fault in us. I can't give you this because remember back in 1937, you stepped on a crack and broke your mother's back. Don't you remember breaking your mother's back? Don't you remember doing that? See, mother and son there, you see, he did that. He stepped on a crack. That's why Dottie's got a bad back. Therefore, you can't have it. Thank God, God doesn't deal with us that way. It says, without finding fault. You pray and you ask God for wisdom. And it says here, there's a comma there after that. It says, and it will be given to you. That's all that you need to get through this evil world is the wisdom of God imparted to you. And the second thing is knowledge. Remember, it's like a thesaurus. It's a treasure trove of wisdom and knowledge. It's hidden in God. It's yours for the asking. So wisdom, the second is knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. It all starts with fear in God. It all starts with fearing God. You get that part right. Pray for wisdom. He doesn't find fault in you asking for it. You pray for wisdom. Even it's not even dependent on what kind of day you're having or how much sin you committed last night. Pray. Ask for wisdom from him. Knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 1:22, it says, fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. God also says in Proverbs 1:28, God says, then they will call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently and they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Starts there. You fear God. Fear, you know, I'm not going to do this because I fear God. Starts there. I didn't say you need to be perfect. You need to fear God. So all of the wisdom and knowledge in the universe is hidden. It's hidden in God. The wisdom is available upon genuine request. The knowledge comes about through fearing God. All right, verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. All right, so in verse 4, he tells the church, don't let people deceive you by persuasive words. That is, don't fall for any lies, because the speaker is skilled at the gift of persuasion. Now, the logic sounds like this. Also, you know, always be looking for the rotten egg, as I like to call it, from the speaker, whoever is speaking to you. Rotten egg. You know, again, don't let people deceive you by persuasive words. That logic can run something like this. Let me give you a few questions here. Number one, Jesus died for your sins. True? Number two, Jesus dies no longer. Truth. Number three, Jesus died for the sins that you will commit tomorrow and the day after. Truth. Therefore, all right, see, now here comes the rotten egg. Therefore, it doesn't matter how you live today. Don't even give sin another thought. Why should you? You've already been forgiven of it. You see, truth, 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 and then rotten egg, there's the lie. That can be very persuasive, you see, when you hear that. Matter of fact, it sounds awful good to my flesh. How about you? It doesn't matter how you live. How about you? Sounds good. I can be a Christian and still live like a devil. It doesn't matter, right? Sounds good, right? Well, that's good. The Bible, okay, how about this one? The Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. That's only talking about lust and temple prostitutes. I study what these people believe and propagate, and that's one of them right there. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about that. That's just talking about those male temple prostitutes and homosexual lust. And or then they say the Bible's not referring to committed homosexual relationships or same-sex family. They say God loves family and will bless any committed family. See, spoken by a professional deceiver, that can be very persuasive. At least to some people, maybe. Sometimes when someone just tells you what you want to hear, that can be very persuasive. When someone tells you what you want to hear, whatever your weakness may be, that can be very persuasive. Sometimes sin sounds mighty good, unfortunately. The devil can still appeal to your flesh even today in order to deceive you. Am I the only one here today? What, does sin only appeal to me once in a while and nobody else? Remember what we learned here? Maybe you weren't here last Wednesday night. I should roll out the board here. Let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, that's just talking to everyone else, not me. No, no, no. No, sin's not enticing to me at all. I've got no desire to sin. Oh, yeah? Verse 8, he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Wow, now how prophetic is that? Even back then, they had the same problem, and that is phony philosophers, let's call them. Full of hot air and no truth. Robbing people of the truth. and cheating you of the knowledge of the truth through phony philosophy and through empty deceit. Now, this note comes from Warren Wiersbe. He says, man's philosophies are very attractive. They give a show of wisdom and intelligence, and too often young Christians are beguiled by these enticing words. How tragic it is when young people go off to secular schools and fall prey to man-made philosophies that deny Jesus Christ and the Bible. You see, you need this wisdom and knowledge. You need the wisdom and knowledge we looked at earlier to get past this, not to be deceived by this vain and false philosophy out here today. Now is the time for wisdom. Now is the time to fear God and receive this knowledge from above, especially now for these kids that are in school. You see, some professor just threw this muck out here that Jesus was a myth. You see, you better test that lie. And you better test that devil as well. You better test that devil before you become an atheist. Now more than ever, you need the wisdom that comes from above. And you need the knowledge of God. I mean, this is right out of today's paper. He says, don't let these phony philosophers out here in these colleges, out here in the world today, deceive you from the knowledge of the truth. That's what he's saying. The remedy to combat phony philosophy and empty deceit is the wisdom and the knowledge of God. John 18:37, Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, he said, what is truth? Right? He said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Man, this is where it starts. Your wisdom and knowledge comes from above. If you lack it, pray and ask God for it. Pray and ask God for wisdom. He gives to everyone, and he doesn't find fault in the person asking for it. If you seek the knowledge of God, then start with fearing God. That's where it starts. That's what he says in his word. All right, let's look at two more verses here. Verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's just like Jesus said to Philip. We looked at it a couple weeks ago, isn't it? Where we read in John 14:8, the Lord Jesus said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. All the fullness of God dwells in the Son. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. Also, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Remember, he is the image of the invisible God. No one has seen God the Father, but when you've seen the Son, you've seen God. John 8:58, the Lord says, before Abraham was, he said, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi. That is, before Abraham was, I am. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So again, you see, in him dwells all the fullness of God in bodily form is in the Son, Jesus Christ. That's why he said to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. Because no one can see the Father. That's Exodus 33:20. He said to Moses, no one will see my face and live. We've seen the sun.
At least they have.
We will too someday. And once you see him, it's too late. Once you see him, it's too late. By either you dying and leaving this world, or by him cracking these skies and returning. Once you see him, it's too late. All the fullness of God dwells in him. So the Lord Jesus, again, he's the image of the invisible God. Paul wrote in Romans 9:5, speaking of Jesus and the Jewish people, he says, from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Okay, now our last verse here today is verse 10. It says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. All right. I don't know if you'd call this a pet peeve or not, but here is the one surefire way of being asked to leave this fellowship or being asked to cease and desist. And that would be asking someone in this church if they've ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. That is an evil, unbiblical, false teaching to instill doubt in another believer, insinuating that they're not the Christian that you are. That just absolutely will not be tolerated here in this church. I hear it all the time. Here's Colossians 2:10 once again. It says, and you are complete in him. Let's change the you as you read it with me. Change the you to I. Ready? It says, I am complete in him. Now that's the truth of the gospel. I am complete in Jesus Christ. And this from the Apostle Peter. Matter of fact, let's turn there and we're going to end there. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I apologize. Everyone's going to get out of here early today. Don't get used to it. Okay. Everybody there? I don't think I've ever said that in 12 years as pastor here, but that's how serious I take that. Because if you get this right, wrong, this causes division in the church. To think that you're better than another Christian causes division in the church. And I want you to see what the Bible's plain and clear. And that is, you are complete in Jesus Christ. No Christian is better than you are. No other Christian has more of God than you do. That is an unbiblical heresy. Unbiblical heresy. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to what Peter says. He says, as his divine power has given to us, what does it say? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, so we part company here this week with these following truths. These two things. Number one, you are complete in Christ. Now, those are his words to you, not mine. That's not my, well, it is my opinion. It's my opinion because he said it. Everything that he says is my opinion. Paul says, you have got everything that you need. You lack nothing. You're complete. And secondly, God's divine power has given to you all things that pertain to life and pertaining to godliness and pertaining to how to live right. He's given it all to you. Everything that you need to go out here and live right. He's given you all things that pertain to life, eternal life, and right here and now life. He's given you all things that pertain to godliness. You are being transformed into that image from glory to glory. You lack nothing. He's given you all things. His divine power has given you all things that pertain to life and pertaining to godliness and pertaining how to live right. And anything else destroys the unity of the church. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you that we lack nothing. Lord, we thank you that you give to us wisdom that we need, and that you don't find fault when we ask. That you give to us generously. We praise you for that. Lord, we pray that you'd always impart the wisdom to us. Wisdom from above. It's pure, gentle, willing to yield. And we also pray and ask you for knowledge and understanding. And it starts with us fearing you. And we do fear you. You are the Almighty God. The Apostle Paul warned us to believe the gospel and to fall in and not to fall out. The consequences of falling out, Lord. We draw close to you. Lord, we pray your word back to you. That you would draw close to us as we draw close to you. Fill us with wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'll leave you guys with this blessing here today. We'll pick it up here again next week here in this same chapter 2. I leave you with this blessing here out of the book of Jude today. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. We'll see you back soon.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.